supporting the arts. Podcast today's show at rte.ie/todaywithSeán O'Rourke.
Now, as we know, temperatures have well and truly dropped, and if you've been cleaning the frost and snow off your windscreen or perhaps cranking up your heating, you could be forgiven for thinking, what would it be like to retire to somewhere warm and sunny, perhaps by the coast, a gentle breeze blowing and maybe sand between your toes? Well, for all its temptations, packing up and moving abroad later in life isn't without its drawbacks, and recent changes by revenue are making it a little trickier. To take us through these changes, I'm joined in studio by Munro O'Dwyer, partner with PricewaterhouseCoopers, and on the line is Patrick Murphy from retirementplanning.ie. Good morning to you both. Munro, revenue you brought in changes late last year. They're for people who have a particular kind of pension. Just explain what they've done.
Sure, Sean. So where people build up their pension in a defined contribution pension scheme, which would be the majority of people these days, certainly in the private sector, at retirement, they've a choice to make as to how they draw their benefits down. They can purchase a pension, an income for life, but increasingly more and more people will retain the capital and they'll take an income from it in retirement. And that's a product called an approved retirement fund. So if you retire overseas, the way the pension would work, which is the first choice, is revenue will not seek to tax you in Ireland and you'll be taxed in the country that you're residing in. If you opt for the approved retirement fund, which again will be the majority of people, what revenue have now clarified is that that simple rule won't apply. They won't exempt you from tax in Ireland. They will look at what you're drawing down and you need to then go to the double taxation agreement with whatever country you're residing in and work out, do I get relief? And of course, where you don't get relief, you end up being taxed in Ireland and being taxed in whatever country it is you're residing in.
Now, this is of particular interest, I think, to people who would have been looking at or maybe have considered the idea of going to Portugal to retire.
So Portugal gets mentioned because Portugal amended their taxation regime to give people 10 years of tax-free income where you decided to retire into Portugal. So Portugal gets mentioned for that reason. I think more generally, the issue that we would see with this change is the whole area of international pensions or pan-European pensions is complex at the best of times. The different tax regimes don't interact very well, and this is another complexity for Irish pension savers and Irish taxpayers. The complexity wasn't there before the revenue clarification, and it's there now.
And what will the consequence of that clarification be then? Just go into that in a little more detail, Munro.
If you have an approved retirement fund and if you retire overseas, which into the future will be more and more people, and I'll come back and give you an example of where we see this emerging in a large way. If that is the position, you can't just identify to the Irish Revenue that I'm being taxed in Spain or Portugal or wherever I am and therefore not liable to tax in Ireland. You need to look at what it is you're drawing down in retirement and then go and reclaim the tax that the Irish Revenue will deduct. And that's just complex. Mm-hmm. So in a very simple way, you'll be drawing down in retirement a little bit of your savings, a little bit of growth. That growth will be from property, deposit interest. And the tax advice you'll need is to go through the double taxation agreement and see, are any of these things exempt? And that's really quite complex for what should be simple.
Yeah, and to come to you now, Patrick Murphy from retirementplanning.ie, I mean, how big a consideration is what we've talked about there with Munro over the last few minutes? How big a consideration is that for people who are thinking about retiring abroad?
Certainly, Sean. I mean, somebody who has the pension fund that Munro mentioned would be very anxious to get that sort of boxed off. But I was just saying to a researcher, I mean, people nowadays retiring to Spain and Portugal, other parts of Europe, they don't have to have actually big pensions or even any pension at all, but a state pension. So it'll certainly be an issue for those who have the defined contribution pension. They'll have to get that right. But actually not to preserve only of those who have a pension. I've stories of people who've retired abroad and live like kings on the Irish state pension because it's much bigger.
Really? 230 quid a year, a week, I should say, if they have the contributory pension.
I spend a few months a year myself. I mean, abroad, and when I'm abroad, for months at a time, I take my own car. And if I could tell you a story about a couple I met from Drimna in Spain, in outside Malaga, 2 years back, I was in the filling station filling the car, and of course, an Irish reg down south attracts attention like a baby in a park. And a couple of them over to have a chat with me. So I bought them a coffee. We had a chat. They retired from Drimna, sold the house, which is a modest house, for about 180,000 quid. Bought a 60,000 apartment. two-bedroom apartment in a town outside Malaga. Bottoms has a new car. There's about 110,000 left in the account. This man worked as a storeman in a place in Ballymount all his life. He'd no occupational pension. Their state pension was much bigger than their Spanish friends would have who'd retired with them. So he said, we live with the Spanish, eat with the Spanish, he said, and we actually live like kings. So it's nice to see people who don't have an awful lot of money in relative terms able to live a very good life.
And they're budgeting accordingly, but I mean, they're allowed, their pension takes them much further. I mean, what costs less out there?
Well, everything. I mean, they're living, firstly, in a small town now. I mean, a lot of people would think about retiring abroad to maybe the Costa del Sol, the main towns, the main cities, the main areas, or those with money might go to golf courses and beachfront. But they had a small apartment in a town they came across, two bedrooms, and it cost them 60,000 quid. He said, we eat out for half nothing in the town. We eat the Spanish people, we shop with the Spanish people. He said, 23,000 a year is about the state pension for a married couple. They were both in their 70s. He said, it wouldn't go too far in Dublin or Donegal. He said, but it goes an awful long way in a small town in Spain.
So they both have the contributory pension?
No, his wife is a qualified adult, so she gets about 213 on his pension. So it's the guts of 23,000 for a married couple, Sean, with who have a dependent spouse.
Just as a matter of interest, Monroe, if you were to save into a pension pot, a defined contribution, to give yourself a pension of 23,000 a year, how big would the pot have to be?
So kind of maybe a rule of thumb would be 25 to 1 or 30 to 1. So if you multiply 24,000 by 30, 720,000, I think is right. And I think, I think the question there is that statistic gets mentioned a lot. I'm not sure the state would value it or would cost it quite like that. And the phrase I'd use is there'll always be in Ireland. So, you know, Ireland and the social insurance system doesn't need to look at it quite like that. But for a private individual looking for an income of about 30,000 in retirement, you're targeting a fund of 750,000.
Right. And now you were talking earlier about people who have these defined contribution, the approved retirement fund. But let's just say you've got an income from the state. You might be a retired guard or a teacher. I mean, how do you pay tax on that pension if you're living abroad?
So for people in that category where they're receiving the income from the where they're receiving a defined benefit income, they will pay tax in the country in which they're resident. And the rules as had been applying to approved retirement funds would apply to them as well. So Irish Revenue would not seek to tax them in Ireland. There can be some exceptions for some government benefits, which can be taxed in the country that they're payable from. But the general rule for defined benefit pension benefits would be you'll be taxed in your country of residence and not you'll be exempt from tax in Ireland. This is the difference, though. The approved retirement fund, you'll be taxed in your country of residence and you're not necessarily and quite potentially not exempt from tax in Ireland. So you're getting an adverse tax treatment versus somebody with a defined benefit pension plan or somebody who's purchased a pension income with their defined contribution proceeds.
And Patrick, how do you persuade or how do you satisfy the requirement of the state and the revenue that you are actually living abroad?
Well, I mean, from a tax point of view, you could see these high profile business people spending 183 days a year in or out of the country. This couple, as far as I know, I didn't get into the tax issue with them, but if they're resident in that country, that's the only thing they have. They're taxpayer. They only have a state pension. The other issues that Munro mentioned, of course, would apply to a more complex scenario. But I think it's 183 days out of a country makes you resident in wherever you're living then for that length of time.
Munro, who's counting the 183 days? I mean, you can imagine why it might be important. Like if you have a private jet, you know, it can be tracked when it's coming, when it's going, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So there's different technologies actually to kind of support and substantiate where people are resident in. So for businesses, so tax residency, where we'll see it most obviously is around businesses that are very significant international travellers. Mm-hmm. And that's possibly the other side of all of this that's maybe not getting picked up on. We're kind of talking about the 65-year-old making the decision today. You'll have lots of 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds who are being asked to travel into Ireland to support the expansion of their business in Ireland or travel out from Ireland to support the expansion of Irish businesses overseas. And those people are key to the economy, both mm-hmm. inwards and outwards. Those people they're doing something that not everyone would choose to do, that is travel internationally to support their business. And they're caught up in this as well. In terms of who's counting day in, day out, businesses who have significantly mobile employees have lots of good technologies to track that to be able to report it.
And coming back to you, Patrick, I mean, what is the level of interest now among people, Irish people, in retiring abroad? I mean, we know that property prices, they've seesawed a lot, not just here, but in Southern Europe as well. But what's your current sense of the thing?
Yeah, well, you certainly would have noticed, Sean, before the Celtic Tiger died a death, there was a huge interest developing. It then tapered off quite considerably when the recession hit, as you'd expect. I've noticed, and I was just saying to a researcher, people don't necessarily raise this would be in a group scenario in the retirement courses. They're actually quite embarrassed about the fact they may be able to retire abroad, and some people may not. But they'll talk to you over a cup of tea, and there's generally speaking, I've noticed an uptake in the people who would be prepared to consider and are considering actively moving abroad now. And is that it doesn't cost a huge amount of money. I mean, you don't have to be very, very well off. I mean, if you get everything right and do your research, you can live quite well in Spain and Portugal on what we might consider to be sort of maybe very reasonable income.
Inevitably, the question of healthcare will arise, though, won't it, Patrick?
Well, it's interesting, Sean, and I kind of figured you might raise that with me. I haven't heard your programme because I'm working, unfortunately, but I would suggest that probably most mornings you've started off at HSC, since started back after Christmas. To be honest about it, I would have no worry in the world about health systems in Europe, even in Spain and Portugal, I have a direct experience of. They're actually fantastic. Your E111 card, Sean, will get you treatment, unfortunately, you can't get here. I mean, if you go to A&E, as one and two of our friends had done over the years, basically, you're not in there more than 2 hours in most cases. And you're in and out and you're looked after. Family friends were over in our house in Portugal there some years ago. And Susan had an issue with the bladder. We looked after the kids for them. They went across to the hospital at 10:30 on a Friday evening. And they were back at 12:30, scanned, medicated, everything. Now, what are the chances of going into a hospital in Ireland at 10:30 at night and coming out at 12:30 in one piece?
Well, as the man says, you have me there. Patrick, thanks very much indeed for talking to us. That's Patrick Murphy, Managing Director of Retirement and Life Planning. And my thanks as well to Munro O'Dwyer of PwC. We're talking about getting fit in an unusual way with Evelyn after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke.